Welcome to the Never Been Promoted podcast with Thomas Helfrich. Get ready for a thrilling adventure as we uncover entrepreneurial journeys and life-changing business insights every week. And now your host, Thomas.
Welcome back to the Never Been Promoted podcast. Why? Because I was never promoted in my career and I decided to create a podcast talking about that. But the truth is, I'm an entrepreneur at heart and I always have been. My name is Thomas Helfrich. I'm your host. If this is your first time here, thanks for visiting. We're going to have a bit of fun. I try to make you laugh with some side weird witty comments to very serious topics because I like to use that as a deflection because I can't handle a serious topic for too long. I get anxious. If you're coming back here, thanks for again. You know that I'm just messing around a little. And we're going to meet our guest. So the goal of this podcast, if you don't know, is to enable and help entrepreneurs be better at entrepreneurship. And we're doing that through the learnings and teachings of other entrepreneurs and their ideas and their businesses. And today's entrepreneur that we're meeting, his name is also Tom. So we love him a little bit more. Tom Palladino. He is the founder of Scalar Light. Scalar Light, I cannot explain to you what's going to happen because he's going to explain it. If you're listening, I'm going to describe his background. He has Jesus hovering above his head. And I sang a song to him ahead of time that says, I don't care if it rains or freezes, as long as I got my plastic Jesus. And he had no idea what I was talking about. And I'm just referring to the plastic Jesus you'd put on your car. And that was like, I think that was the ad for it. Anyway, Tom, welcome to the show.
Good day. Thank you for the invite.
I appreciate it. By the way, listen, off camera, I was being bantering. So people are walking into me and the back end of us bantering. So you have some crazy stuff you're working on. And so I want you just to kind of just introduce yourself, give a little on your background, and then, you know, introduce your Scalar Light in the company.
Okay. I'm a scientist. I'm a researcher. And I work with a branch of physics known as scalar light. Some people call that quantum physics. And it's very real. And to put this into context, that branch of physics is non-physical. It's information. It's intelligence. Now, if we look at the physical realm, that's great. That's the physics that we understand. There's not an electron or a proton involved in scalar energy, scalar light. So it's a new branch of physics that has great potential. And I'm trying to introduce this branch of physics.
So you're a researcher. So where did you do research?
It's all independent. And the reason I say that, this is not taught at the level of academia. No university has taken this up in a serious fashion. The way you research this is through instrumentation. I have developed instrumentation that controls scalar energy. And that's the key to my research. It's not theory. It used to be. It's in practice now. I can control an energy spectrum, non-physical energy, non-physical information, and I can produce results with this non-physical information.
Okay, so scalar energy. Give me the my 6-year old asks what it is, or I don't have a 6-year old. I have a 9-year old. Say, let's go 9-year old. My 9-year old asks, "What is scalar energy, Dad?" How would you answer that to a 9-year old?
In simple terms, it's the energy from the sun. It's non-physical energy from the sun. So if we look at energy, energy is primal. It's the fundament of nature, of creation. I am working with that fundamental force of the sun. All energy initiates as solar energy or stellar energy. That's what I'm working with.
Okay. And how did you discover it? Like, how did you learn about this? Like, so, you know, you don't kind of trip on that because it's not physical. So you can't just fall into it.
I at a young age, I was studying Nikola Tesla. And I had the mind to understand that Tesla was working with in this abstract science, if you will, this esoteric science. And I studied Tesla and I wanted to follow up on the work of Nikola Tesla. And it is valid. What Tesla discovered, I have rediscovered. There is an energy outside of electricity and magnetism. There's another energy field, scalar energy. It's a new branch of physics. And the way you access that, you have to access it through instrumentation. Just like if you want to access an electrical current, you need some type of an electrical instrument. Well, I have a scalar instrument that can access scalar energy.
All right. So this is an entrepreneurial, it's beyond an entrepreneurial quest. But, and of all the entrepreneurs I've met, this one is, it's not like it's a different version of a mousetrap. You're saying the mouse doesn't exist. And so, and I'm going to still catch it. So, you know, being that the podcast is around helping entrepreneurs, you to me face one of the most difficult journeys. Mm-hmm. It's one thing to go zero to hero. You're going from unexistent to zero and everything in between, which is quantum, right? Right. And so talk to me about that journey just a little bit, maybe just, you know, diverged sure. out from your actual product or, you know, services. It's just tell me about the journey a little bit because it's got to be crazy.
It is. You're right. The journey began when I was 10 or 11 years of age and I was reading about Nikola Tesla. Well, I wanted to follow up on his research, so I had to study physics and I had to understand, if you will, the sciences. So that was my collegiate career. After that, in my late 20s and 30s, I embarked upon private research, independent research. I met a family by the name of Hieronymus that were scalar energy researchers, and I was working with them as of 1993. But since that time, it's all been on my own. So this is indeed a pioneering effort on my part. It is, if you will, groundbreaking research. How do you go about it? One step at a time. You have to be very patient. Nature gives up her secrets begrudgingly. So you have to have this long-term attitude, and you have to go about this just essentially one discovery at a time. Now I'm finally ready to bring this to the world. I've done the research. Now I want to present this. Now this eventually should have a business model wrapped around it. That's where we're going in the future. It has to. We have to prove that this energy exists and that it's of benefit to people.
And so on your journey, there had to be some naysayers. And I say that because sometimes the best way to understand, for those who haven't been on an entrepreneurial journey, you're going to have people who are going to say no. They're not going to. Or worse, they're going to pretend to support you, and they're typically people pretty close to you. And any of my family members reading into this, read into it how you want. I mean, it might not be about you, might be, who knows. But the point being is, you're going to have those friends, families who are going to kind of look at you. What's he doing? Why is that? In yours, learning through extremes, because there's going to be people like, what are you doing? Like they have to be, because if it's a new field of anything. Mm-hmm. You're in a different class of entrepreneur that says, I believe in this. I'm going for it. I don't be damned what they think. Tell me about that journey, because that's the one where resilience is born and then either broken or strengthened.
You're right. You have to be thick skinned. I don't let anything get to me. Everybody's entitled to their opinion. But if I'm working with an engineered instrument and I'm following the laws of science, I know that what I'm observing is true and accurate. So I discount that. Doesn't faze me in the least bit.
It's amazing. How do you develop that? Can you sell that as a bottle? Like,
you're right. You know, and maybe I've nurtured that attitude over so many years. I don't let it get to me. Plain and simple, you have to study the science. If you don't, no hard feelings. That you speak out of a posture of ignorance. So I don't let anything faze me. I just keep. I have laser vision. That's the key to my work. I don't let anything deviate from that course.
I love the use of puns, phased and laser, which is really good.
Unintended.
I was hoping for like emissions and radiation with that as well. Then we have the definition for what is it? Light, aperture. What does it stand for? Laser? You know, it's a good trivia quiz. A lot of people know it. And I clearly can't remember it. But that's the post 45 mind of mine going on. Really good memory, super short. So let's get into that. So you face credible challenges, like, you know, it's tell me about some aha moments though. So I like, you know, you're in a new world, did you drop something on the floor and, you know, discover rubber? Like, you know, like, tell me your aha moment where you're like, I cannot believe that just worked.
Here's my aha moment. Back in 1993, I started working with a group of American inventors by the name of Hieronymus. And when I was working with their instruments, I had a slight cold. And they told me, operate this instrument and you'll be able to eradicate the microbes in your body. So I operated the instrument and lo and behold, I no longer had nasal congestion. My lungs cleared up within a matter of minutes. I don't think it was a placebo effect. And I said to myself, this is incredible. So then I took that instrument and I started working with family and friends, and their lungs cleared up and their sinuses cleared up. I said, we're on to something, because this is repeatable, right? I always look to, can you repeat the function? If you can, then you're probably working with a law of science. Well, I've been doing that now for 30 years. And yes, I could say that with this instrument, working with this non-physical intelligence, we can access what I call a force field and negate a microbe.
Now, in this, do you think is there any science or proof, or how would you say, that doesn't also remove good?
The bottom line is this: you cannot prove or disprove what I'm doing. You cannot measure the energy. It's non-physical. Nobody's ever duplicated my instrument, my results. Nobody can prove or disprove what I'm doing. It's such a new science that it's not embraced by academia. So we're on the cutting edge here. And I don't think anybody in the world has reproduced my results. I want them to. I welcome them, but I haven't been able to garner that type of interest.
How do you create the instrument?
I learned from the Hieronymus family. Galen Hieronymus was the initial inventor. He actually secured a U.S. patent back in 1949, and he was well-respected by many people. I have modified his instrument. So the long and short of it is, if I can hold this up, this is one of the instruments that I work with. It's been modified. This is a modified Hieronymus instrument. Long and short, it's taken years to modify to this point. There's a lot of geometry involved. The bottom line is, I can control an energy spectrum, not electricity or magnetism. I can control an energy spectrum that commands intelligence. I am working with intelligence or information. All of my work is non-physical. And in so doing, I believe this will be the, if you will, control over nature moving forward.
I'd have a tough time investing if no one could repeat it, right? I'd have a tough time letting you treat me, let's say, even like walk me through from your kind of, you see it, you believe it.
So I'll be clear.
You could draw a parallel to Jesus on this one. He saw and knew something that no one else knew, and still got some people behind him, right? So how are you doing this?
Yeah. How am I doing this? Well, one person at a time. I have to prove it. That's why we, on our website, we give away free sessions. To make this to illustrate and make this clear, when I work with people, I don't work with people in person. It's all my work is non-physical, so it's information. Now, Tom and I are having a discussion. I can see Tom in my computer and vice versa. It's a non-physical presence. When I work with people, I work with their photograph, which is their non-physical presence. In other words, my photograph has energy attached to it. When I place my photograph inside the instrument, I have a connection in that non-physical realm. So I'm no longer am I working in an electromagnetic spectrum. I'm working in what's called zero point energy or scalar energy spectrum. We are working in a different dimension. That's why this is so exciting. This has nothing to do with Newtonian physics. This is a new branch of physics in which we're working in a different dimension. And because of that, we see a different laws of physics and different possibilities.
All right. So walk me through that. Give me the use case. Someone comes to you and says, I have you fill in the blank problem. And you say, well, I need this. And what's going to happen when I do that? And then the result should be what? Okay. So walk me through that kind of if then.
The instrument does what I tell it to do. For instance, some people say, Tom, I don't feel well. So I have a process called pathogenic cleanse. Now, keep in mind, all of my work is through instrumentation and photographs. I'm going to hold up a photograph of a bacterium. This is Staphylococcus aureus. It's a common bacterium. If I place my photograph side by side the photograph of Staph aureus in the instrument, I will see an energy, a signal of Staph aureus in me. The intelligence, the signal of Staph aureus, if it's picked up in my photograph, in my force field, the instrument will negate that. So in synopsis, a photograph of a bacterium will be identified in my force field. the instrument will negate that energy field. We're working at a higher level of energy intelligence, not on the chemical level. Why does this work? Because energy never makes a mistake. That's why.
All right. So so how far, what's the reach? Can it cure cancer to, I think you said,
no,
HIV, some HIV, some other stuff. Like what's the limitation? Can it restore like neural pathways, hearing? What would be the?
Right now I've perfected to the point. If I have a photograph of a microbe, I can eradicate a microbe, including, for instance, HIV. I can eradicate the signal of HIV if I find that in a person's force field. So any type of microbe that can be photographed, the instrument will pick up the energy of that microbe and negate the energy of the microbe. Now, keep in mind, it's a new science in which we don't work with people. We work with energy fields through the photograph. It's an entirely brand new science.
It's hard to get your head around it.
It is.
And I'm an open cup here, so I'm going to ask some dumb questions. I'm ignorant. You described it. I'm an ignorant to the subject, and so your patience for my questions are
very appreciated. I didn't expect anybody to understand this. This is
well. We got to get somebody. It can't be the world's best kept secret, right? So, what's the negative side?
None. Why? Can you have an adverse reaction to a photograph? No. That's a great question. I never experience any inflammation, Herxheimer reaction, any pimple or dizziness. We're not working at the chemical level. We're working at information. Light information never makes a mistake. There's never been an adverse reaction.
Can it be any bacteria?
Yes, provided I have a photograph of the bacterium. Here, this is strep mutans. This has been associated with many people with gingivitis. When I place my photograph or somebody's photograph in the instrument alongside this photograph, again, there's a sharing of information. The two photographs communicate as we're communicating through our computers. After I work with people, people tell me that their gums no longer bleed, or that their mouth feels clean, or that their sinuses clear up. Can that be proven? No, it's anecdotal. But this is the feedback we're receiving.
What's the time frame? Is it instant, weeks, days?
Instant. Takes one session. Instant.
All right. So can you prove it by putting like the bacteria that's in, let's say, blue cheese and a picture of blue cheese, and then that blue cheese would no longer have the bacteria?
That's correct. I believe so.
How would it know it's that blue cheese?
If I had the photograph, that's a good point. I have thousands of photographs of different microbes. How do I instruct the instrument? Through a photograph. Why a photograph? It's a source of light. I can see you in my computer. I can see you in your room. Okay, I see you have a white colored shirt and a blue tie that's been snipped. I can see you. Okay, light doesn't lie. There's a light signature on that photograph that doesn't lie. It's perfect. Light is perfect. So I work with light sources of photographs of microbes. I work with my light field, and the two communicate. My work is flawless because I work only with light. I only work with energy.
So if you're faced, let's say, with a blood infection, yes, and your choice is antibiotics or scalar light, which are you picking?
For myself, because I have proficiency with these instruments, it's scalar light. Now, I don't dissuade people from working with the medical community. I admire the medical community. My work has nothing to do with medicine. I have to make that distinction. This is not medicine. This is not Newtonian physics. This is a new branch of physics.
If you tripping on my own wires here, sorry about that. If you're the hero in this, who is the person or institution out there that is like, if you post anything, they're all over you? Do you have any nemesis out there?
No, I don't. And I'll tell you why. What I'm doing is perfectly legal, morally correct, and it's never been defined. How can anybody define a photographic force field? Nobody's ever defined. Nobody can define scalar energy. So I'm working, again, it's so cutting edge. Nobody can wrap their head around this.
Who's your kind of mentor now?
God. How did I learn? God gave me the wisdom. There is no textbook. This is years of research, painstaking research, sometimes trial and error. So that's really the avenue that I've pursued. This is why it's taken me years to develop, come to this point of advancement.
You know, God does meet you where you are. That's true. Let me say it. So what is going to be next? Like, how do you take this to the next level for you? Right. Like, what's going to take?
People. Today, I was working with thousands of photographs. The instrument can work with the instrument can work with 10 million photographs a day. I need people to believe in this. I need people to say, by way of a favorable testimony, that they feel better. It has to be driven by a grassroots effort. Why? There's no big business or academia involved. They haven't embraced this. How do I get this out there? Through people. Frankly, through podcasts.
Well, I think you know, like an actual demonstration would help too, right? So what's where's the instrument kept, if I can ask?
I have a couple laboratories, two laboratories.
Are they like below ground or above ground kind?
They're above ground, yeah.
Okay, above ground. I have that. I mean, I don't know if it's kind of like a lair,
yeah,
or
yeah.
Like open space, CIS, like come look at me work. I wish I could go in there. I didn't know. I'd have to ask that.
Yeah.
How big is the instrument, dude?
Sitting on a table, it's about 6-7 feet long. It weighs a good 100 pounds. There's a lot of technology to it.
And how is it powered?
Very good. I start with an AC current and I convert it into scalar. My predecessor, Hieronymus, was able to power up any scalar energy instrument and take just household current and convert it into the scalar wave. We see that both energies have a bi-directional relationship. AC electricity can be converted into scalar, and likewise, scalar can be downgraded into AC electricity.
How do you store it in scalar?
You don't. Once you access, this is the very quiddity of the matter. Once you access scalar energy, you access the universe. This energy is not from point A to point B. It's omnipresent. It truly is a quantum field. It's what some people call the matrix or the eye of God, the all-seeing eye. It's not, if you will, a vector quantity. It's omnipresent. So once I'm in that scalar energy force field, some people call that a wormhole. Some people call that a different dimension. Once you're in that dimension of scalar energy, you can connect to anything in the world. This is why I don't need an infrastructure. This is why when I'm working with force fields of people, I don't need satellites. The photograph is the person. The person actually can bilocate to my laboratory. Now, that's a new and unheard of principle unless you accept quantum mechanics, that people can be in two places at once. So what am I saying? In a scalar energy force field, you're omnipresent. Well, in this case, you can be present in two places at once through your photograph. This is not attainable in an electromagnetic spectrum where you can only be in one place at a time. In a scalar energy force field, you can be in 2, 3, 4 places simultaneously.
And I mean, you're not the only one in there. I mean, I think before we got on here, I looked, there's, you know, unverified, whatever it is, but like, you know, increases in white blood cells, and there's like people have their own bioscalar. And we're it's not here, but like, you know, is there a radioactive? What are the questions? I guess maybe probably better questions. What are the top questions people go if they don't throw a bullshit flag up and just dismiss it right away? What are the questions? What are the next inquisitive questions most people ask?
The most inquisitive say, Tom, can you prove this? They're very open. Most people are very open. And I said, go to my website. We give away 15 days of free sessions. You see, there is no textbook on this. We're writing the textbook. So people say, I'll try it. And invariably, I want people to try it, and I want people to develop their own feel. You know, all of this is anecdotal because it cannot be measured. It cannot be proven. So the only step is try it. See how you feel.
And do you work in, you know, what was some of the research I had looked at was scalar energy versus like negative ion. And so you want to talk about, like, I know not to confuse anybody anymore, but scalar energy and negative ions are two types of energy that are out there that are often related, but what's your take on those two pieces?
Yeah, those are two separate concepts. A charged ion, a charged electron, I don't work with electrons. Keep in mind, all of my work is non-physical. Electrons, protons are some physical mass. I work in the realm of consciousness or intelligence. This is what I like so much about my work. If I can work in, with intelligence, there's no impediment. There's no event that can, if you will, stop or in any way interfere with my work. Intelligence cannot be interfered with.
So what's been the change? Like, so how did this get discovered recently? Like, what's the rebirth? You know, when I was looking at some research prior to this interview, I was like, I saw that, like, you know, a lot more things had come out in May 2019, a lot more in 2023. Yeah. What's the trigger?
The rebirth is people are inquisitive, and people now have been, their imagination was spurred by Nikola Tesla. Tesla was really still at the forefront of this science. And people realized that Tesla was developing free energy instruments, that Tesla later in his career was working with intelligence, not AC electricity. So people see the results. People can theorize where this is going. And I give a lot of credit, and frankly, to the internet, because this is how the information is being disseminated.
What so from an energy standpoint, would this make it, I mean, light has actual physical components to it, if I understand light correctly. Right. Does this mean this would move faster than the speed of light?
Yes, it's omnipresent. Now, hold on to your hat. This energy traverses the universe from one side of the universe to another in a flash, instantaneously. In other words, it's instantaneous communication. Why? Because everything is pre-connected. So you're not moving from point A to point B. There's only one point. Everything's pre-connected.
So, as you describe it, this is the teleporter. This is also time travel because
it is. Yes, it is. When a person sends me their photograph, they teleport to my instrument. The photograph is their energy field, their non-physical energy field. And this is why I can treat a photograph. I don't treat people. I treat their non-physical version, their bilocated version, which is their photograph. It is teleportation. And a person transcends time and space because they come to my laboratory through the photograph. It is teleportation. You're right.
Now, how are you? Is this your full time gig? Have you monetized this? And if so, well,
this is all I
do. Talk to me about that.
I've started a website. I'm trying to pay my expenses through the website, but it's very difficult. You know, you can put millions of dollars into research and promotion here. I'm one man. I'm one researcher, so I need a lot of help getting this off the ground.
Now, how's your family take this? Tell me what their reactions are. Are they fully supportive? Is it up and down? What's the closest people to you? How do they take it?
100% supportive. Why? They see the merit. They are on the sessions themselves. They see that there are benefits, benefits by way of non-physical intelligence. So thank God they're supportive.
And so when I give you a picture, mm-hmm. There's a physical benefit to a non-physical energy. Yeah. Is that correct? Is that the short of that?
Some people tell me their depression's been lifted. Others have said they no longer have a viral load for HIV. Some people say that they feel better. They no longer have inflammation. Some people go as far as to say that they gave up drinking or cigarettes. Why? It's intelligence that their aura or their force field is receiving. It's not a chemical, it's intelligence.
What are the people who didn't find the benefit? What do they say?
Well, it didn't work, and I have to appreciate that. You know, I can't work with everything. I can't work with every condition, every physical, mental condition. So, right now we've perfected this to the point we can, if you will, deliver vitamins and nutrients. We can balance the chakras. We can eliminate the force field of microbes, germs. So we're starting to learn how to apply this energy.
All right. Well, who do you want to get a hold of you? Like who's, if they're, you know, anybody's made it to this point in the podcast, I always thank people for getting about 30 minutes in or so. And I ask the question of like, you know, here of who should get a hold of you and how do they do that?
Any serious minded person. I'll work with anybody, but you have to be serious minded and you have to be willing to to grasp the fact that there's another energy source, that this is not electromagnetic, go to my website, scalarlight.com. We have a support staff. You can reach out to us, email us, or give me a telephone call. I will go on record by saying scalar energy as a technology will change the course of history. Scalar energy is one of the greatest technologies that we could ever ask for. It will change the course of history.
And if you're right, and there's a bunch of people out there that are, there's more, you know, you're not the only one in there. So I'd be very clear that, like, if you do some Google search, he's not, Tom is not the only guy in this realm. And probably if you backed up before, you know, there's light bulbs, people would be like, you're going to be able to do what? Right. Like, no, the candles is how you light a room. Like, right. Like there's always been these, we're going to be able to talk to people from a tiny little device, like on Star Trek. No, we aren't. Right. And yet we can. And so I, you know, I'm one as an open mind. I'm a skeptic at heart too, but I can also look back and see what would we perceive every day now as normal would have been, you've been burned at the stake for magic, right? Not too long ago. It just really clearly, like, I mean, and I'm not talking thing like, hey, I can put your image on here and show you, make you move, which would definitely have gotten you burnt back in the 1500s. But the fact that you can get in a plane or I can cure that with one little, you know, cream, that would have also gotten you burnt. So the point is, I think, you know, take an open mind to this, take a look at it. It's still nascent to some degree. I mean, very much so to some degree. It's beyond nascent because explaining the how is not quite there. How the instrument got built to do this, maybe I give you one last shot to get my head around that, because I still understand how it's hard to explain how, but yet an instrument's been built. So can you end maybe our kind of time here with explain how an instrument gets built, but we can't explain that kind of how or why.
Dr. Hieronymus was the original inventor, and he actually secured a U.S. patent for the instrument back in 1949. In many ways, I've copied his instrument and I've modified it. Now, how did I do it? How did Hieronymus do it? It's all groundbreaking, meaning what? It has to come from God. Who else could teach this? Okay, there is no college classroom for what I'm doing. It's all groundbreaking research. So I give the credit to God.
And then what's next, though? So what do you do with the instrument? Do you give other people access to it to look at it, play with it?
No, my laboratory is off limits. The next hurdle is I want to start working with 1 million people a day.
How would you do that? Through
a lot of promotion and people signing up for our free sessions on our
website. Let's say you did that and you had 1 million people who wanted to work with you. How do you physically do that? I mean, you're in a physical world, but how do you use the instrument to do that? Can the picture be super small, or what is it? Like, I mean, how does that work?
We can miniaturize a photograph. If the photograph is this size of each size that you see of each person, I could easily fit 10 million photographs in the instrument at one time.
Does it have to be a physical photo, or can it be a digital?
It has to be physical. It has to actually have their light representation.
See, so digital, the light that was captured when,
yes,
photographed. Correct. What if there was filters put on it?
I'm sorry. What if there's?
What if the photograph's been manipulated?
If it still has some part of their skin, it's fine. If it's AI generated, no, I can't use images. I have to capture a person's essence. Their aura or their skin must be photographed.
Does someone's aura change based on their mood at that moment?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. By all means. I believe this does, indeed, this instrument will interface with the brain waves and the seven chakras. Oh, yeah.
All right. I got it. All right. So scalarlight, is it .com? Is that right?
That's correct.
Scalarlight.com, Tom Palladino. Listen, this is mind-blowing. If you're at all a little bit even interested, or you know what, maybe you've had this little, like, weird pain in your back or something, maybe right here where I'm pointing, you can I don't know. I don't know if that would be, I didn't listen to the interview. That's not the use case he's talking about. So I will tell you this, I will leave the use cases and the interest to anyone who comes to you to do this. Tom, I appreciate you coming on today. Thank you.
Thank you for your time.
I appreciate it as well. Hey, and listen, and if this was your first time here, I want you to know, entrepreneurs, they come from all angles, and if wherever you are coming from, whatever your idea is, no idea is really too far out there. The idea is that you have a belief, you have something that you believe will benefit the world, and you think you can do it, you go do it. The only faith you really need, honestly, is in yourself. And if you have some other faiths that are higher power and other people, then that's an additive. But the one that you've been given in yourself is the one you got to trust first. And I will tell you that, you know, it's as far out as Tom's ideas, it was Scarlight. And maybe 100 years from now, we'd be like, oh, that was obviously right. That's how the simple, you can extrapolate that to your own ideas as an entrepreneur. And I hope you do that. I hope you take that, you know, you can be whatever you want as long as you believe in it and you can go chase it. So, Tom, thank you so much once again for sharing. Anybody else, if your first time here, thank you. If you've been here before, thank you as well. And until we meet again on the Never Been Promoted podcast, get out there, just go unleash your entrepreneur. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to Never Been Promoted with Thomas Helfrich. Make sure to check the show notes for our guest contact information and any relevant links. Connect with Thomas personally at neverbeenpromoted.com.
Thanks again to instantlyrelevant.com for producing the show, all the social media, all the content, posts, articles, everything. Could not do it without you. InstantlyRelevant.com. Check it out. They're awesome. Once again, InstantlyRelevant.com.